Okay, I've chosen for today the 54th Psalm. Lamnatzeach binginot maskil le David. I'm not going to enter into the discussion, I've done that in the past, about the various type of headings. Lamnatzeach binginot maskil le David. It is clear that this was set to nigina. It was meant to be sung to music. We, of course, don't have those melodies. We don't know what that is. But we have here a rather long intro before we get into the body of this actual song. Because this was about an autobiographical incident in David's life, namely, Bevo ha-Zifim vayomru le-Shaul, when the Zifim, who were part of the tribe of Yehuda, which is David's tribe, and they lived near a place called Zif, and so they're called the Zifim, as if we would say Chicagoans, and they came to Shaul and told him, Halo David mistater imanu. After all, David is hiding amongst us. In order for us to understand the background that is at this song, that is behind all of that's written here, we need to go to Shmuel Aleph. And I have before you the 23rd chapter of Shmuel. I will explain this particular incident, but in order for us to understand what happened in the 23rd chapter, I need to do a little bit of backtracking for those of you that are not familiar with all of the stories. You will recall that after he married Michal, David was under the danger of assassination by Shaul and his henchmen. They tried, in fact, to invade the bedroom in which he slept. Michal, recognizing what was about to happen, let him out the window, you will remember, and he fled for his life. He went from place to place, finding himself in his escape in the city of Gat, amongst the Philistines, the enemies of Am Yisrael, and devoted enemies of David, because you will remember that David killed Goliath. So they have, in fact, a price on his head. To hide who he is, he pretended at that time to be mad. He acted crazy, and they presumed that he was some sort of madman, and they let him go, not recognizing that he was David. And he found himself running from place to place. He ultimately came to the city of Nov. That's written about in chapter 22. Nov was one of the cities of the Kohanim, and there he was given refuge, some food, which he had none, as well as a sword, the very same sword with which he cut off the head of Goliath. It was the only thing that they had amongst them to save his life. Word, however, was sneaked to Shaul that the city of Nov had given him refuge, and he took his vengeance against the city of Nov and wiped it out, men, women, and children. So you need to understand that by now, giving David any kind of shelter, people were terrified of doing this. I'm actually imagine, essentially, what would have happened to a Polish family that may have been humane, but may have been afraid to give shelter to hiding Jews, lest somebody tell about them and the Gestapo would come and take vengeance against them, against their entire village, and so on. This is essentially what was happening at the time. What happened was David finally found shelter up in the mountains, in the caves, and had to do raids, if you like, to try to get some food. He's now with 400 men. When word comes to him, Vayagidu le David lemor, hinei plishtim nilchamim bekeila, vehem hema shosim et agranot. Word had come to David, who is now in hiding, that the Philistines are attacking a town called Keilah, and that they are raiding the threshing floor. This was, if you like, harvest season. And the Philistines, it was their custom to raid the Jewish farmers and steal their produce from them, leaving them to go hungry. Now, at this stage of the game, David is risking his life to perhaps save Jews in Keilah. Should he go there? Vayishal David b'Hashem. David asked God. He asked on the Urim v'Tumim. How did he have access to the Urim v'Tumim? I told you that in chapter 22 we heard that there was a city of Kohanim and that they had been wiped out. But one of the Kohanim had escaped and joined David's band. And he had with him the Urim v'Tumim. And he asked, should I go and attack the marauding Philistines and save my fellow Jews? Vayomer Hashem el David, and word came to David via the Urim v'Tumim and the Kohen, that one Kohen that survived. Go there and save Keilah, and you can attack them. Indeed, that's exactly what happened. So a few verses later, the intervening verses explain how there was an Urim v'Tumim amongst him that he could ask this question. Vayelech David ve'anashav, David and his band attacked Keilah. Vayelachem b'plishtim, and he did war with the marauding Philistines. Vayanheget miknehem, vayach bahem makah gdola, and he saved the day for Yoshvei Keilah. Now we're being told that who was amongst them leading them into war, as was customary? Aviatar ben Achimelech, the surviving Kohen from the city of Nov, ephod yarad beyado, with the ephod and the Urim v'Tumim dressed in the garments of a Kohen Gadol that he had rescued from the city. Well, what happened then was, Vayishma Shaul, verse 8, Shaul heard that David had come and rescued Keilah, and therefore decided that while David is attacking the Philistines in Keilah, he will surround and plan an ambush of David and his men after the fact. So Shaul did not come to save his countrymen. He is only waiting for David to do the dirty work, and then he will attack David and his men. Now word comes to David, what should he do here? Should he continue with the battle in Keilah, or should he run for his life? Knowing that that Shaul is simply waiting for him to do the dirty work, what should he now do? Eviatar, ask the Urim v'Tumim again, what should I do? And Hashem responds, go down to Keilah, do what you need to do, regardless of the risk that you're taking. And so what happened was, Vayakam David v'anashav k'sheshmot ish, vayitzu mikailah. And he and about 600 men left Keilah. And they went where they went. And Shaul found out that they had managed both to save the city, but to escape. Well, he then went and started chasing after him. For lack of a place to hide, he ended up hiding among the Ziphim. And at that point, we hear as follows. Vayalu Ziphim. I want you to understand, these are his own tribesmen. And they came to Shaul, who is up on a hill. Halo David mistater imanu bametzadot. David is hiding amongst us. Where? In the hills. What hills? This is southwest of Hebron, in the area that we know today as Mitzada, where there are high mesas, and they, in fact, informed on him. Shaul goes up to the mountain and very close to capturing David, when word comes out that there is a major war, an attack by the Philistines, he retreats, and David is saved for another day. David, in a sense, feels that he has been rescued, and he's grateful to God. There has been a tremendous miracle in the process. He did the right thing, but at the same time, he is suffering from horrific sense of betrayal by his own tribesmen who've informed on him. The same tribesmen whom he has just saved in the town of Keilah. He saved them, he saved their grain. He attacked the marauding Philistines that were out to kill them and take their property. And yet they turn around and stab him in the back. What then does he say? Elohim b'shimcha oshieh. God, I turn to you in your name, for the sake of your name, hoshienu. There's two issues here. Some say that the word b'shimcha is another way of saying that you call out the name of God, yudke vavke, which he does not at this point actually pronounce, but in your name, with your name that indicates hashgacha pratit, the God of salvation, you will save me. You see that this statement is turned and addressed to the Ribono Shel Olam. Others say b'shimcha is literally kiviyachol, that with the Shem Hashem, Shem Havaya, which only the Kohanim would dare to pronounce on Yom Kippur, with your name, that power of God's name, you've saved me. You will remember, for example, that the Maharal of Prague managed to make the Golem take vengeance against those who would attack the Jews of Prague, and he put Shem Hashem into the mouth of this dummy that he had created, the Golem. It was the name of God. In your name, with your name, you saved me. Ubigvuratcha tadineni. And with your strength, you've judged me. Judged me? What did he do wrong? What did he do wrong that he needs judgment? What must you possibly do? So, Ibn Ezra says, you will judge me and see that I am innocent and I don't deserve the knife that was stuck in my back. I don't deserve the betrayal of my own countrymen, my own tribesmen, my own mishpucha, if you like. They've done this to me. You will judge me and you will find me innocent. Others, such as Amos Chacham in Musad Harav Kook's commentary, tells us that in this case, tadineni is the way it appears in Al Hanisim. Danta et dinam. Right? When we speak Al Hanisim, the Al Haniflaot. Danta et dinam means you actually avenged them. You vindicated them. And so by your strength, you didn't judge me, you vindicated me. You proved my innocence. Elohim. Shma tfilati. God, listen to my prayer. Please notice, I've saved the day for a moment, but I'm still in dire danger, and so are my people, and so are those that are loyal to me and that are helpful to me. Shma tfilati. Ha'azina le'imrei fi. Please listen closely to what comes out of my mouth. Kizarim kamu alai. And now we have a problem. Who are the Zarim that rose up against me? Are we talking about Jews? Or are we talking about Goyim? Radak wants to say he universalized this. This is about his own personal problems as well as others. And he's referring here to our enemies have risen up against me. But given the context of the Zifim, he says Zarim are Jews. Jews that are members of his own tribe, related to him by blood. But they act as if they're strangers to me. They've estranged themselves and they rose up against me. The Aritzim, and the word for Aritz nowadays is used for tyrants. Bikshu nafshi, seek my soul, they want to kill me. They all, lo samu elokim lenegdam. They did not put God before them. They don't see God in front of them. They don't believe that they're going to be held accountable. Very often we have a lot of people who can be acting in all kinds of, if you like, righteous wars. But what he's arguing is, Rak ein yirat elokim b'makom hazeh. They've got everything, except one thing. They're not God-fearing. How can somebody who has just been saved by David and ensured that he would have food for the rest of the winter go around and turn him in? Zarim kamu alai. Surely they don't believe that there is justice, divine justice. They don't recognize that. Selah. And this is part one, ending with the word Selah. And I've told you in the past that Selah can serve as a musical flourish. And you end one part, and now comes the next stanza in music. Or it can mean forever. In this case, it does not mean forever. It is, in fact, the conclusion of part one. You will see now this is addressed to God. Comes the next. And now you'll see as follows. Hine Elokim Ozerli. Look, here he is. God helps me. What was the Hine that he saw that God helps him? That suddenly out of the blue, when he's just about to, literally a few steps away from him, Shaul turns around and leaves. If that was not divine intervention, what is? To whom is he saying, look, here, God helps me? Notice it's written, Ozerli, in present tense. God is helping me. But now, the next part is not addressed to the people that he's with, but rather to the Ribbono Shel Olam again. And we have here, talking to different groups. Look, God is helping me. Adoshem! Besomche nafshi, help also those who support my life. He means the 400 or the 600 or the Kohanim that were with him, the people that gave him shelter. In the same way that he, in fact, is so angry at those that have betrayed him, he begs God to not only help him, but to help those that have supported him. Yashiv hara leshorerai. That God will pay back, give back the evil leshorerai. Shorerai is often translated as the same thing as tzorerai, those who would give me trouble, those who are my enemies. But Rashi and many others point out that the word here comes from the word those who are lying in ambush, espying me. Lashur is to see, but it's not just to see, it's to look from a distance as one would look through binoculars, searching out for someone, laying in ambush for him, espying him. To the word espy means to see, to seek out. I want you to pay back those who had spied out me. He knows that not everybody in Kaila and not everybody in Zif betrayed him, but some of them were spies. I want you to pay them back. Be'amitcha, because you are truthful, because God does not tolerate sheker, hatzmitem. Hatzmitem really means make them shrivel. And in this case, it means to die. Kill them. Dry them up. And I, bin davar es bechalecha. I will bring you offerings. I will bring you thanks with a open, generous heart. Ode shimcha Hashem. I will thank and acknowledge your name, God. And this is the only time we have Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei here. the Midas HaRachamim Ki Tov. For that name is good. That name is good. Ki Mikol Tzara Hitzilani. For he saved me from every trouble. Ube'oivai Rata Eini. And I lived to see the downfall of my enemy. He doesn't say the downfall. My eye saw my enemy. And we know what he means. I saw my enemy. Some say, no, he didn't see the downfall. He saw them turning away, inexplicably, at the last minute, saving him.